Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast. Los Angeles, my Ramley, what is up? I know it's a somber, rainy, gloomy day here in Los Angeles. It's raining due to the fact of God crying for the tough loss the Rams displayed down in Tampa to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But we are here to hopefully brighten your day. Maybe the sun can break through the clouds and relieve some of that depression, or not, but we'll do our best. This is the LA Football Show, Rams edition of the week. Joined as always by my man, my good friend, the madman Jamal Madney. What's up, brother? How you doing? Staying dry down there in Westwood?
Ryan's trying to stay dry here. Obviously, it's getting damp, it's getting dark, but we're not talking about the Rams season yet. We're just talking about the LA weather.
One and the same.
One and the same. The city's tears are the Rams' tears. And if ever anyone thought whether or not the Rams were an LA town or not, I think the city of LA has demonstrated that with their display of weather today in protest of what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, and if we want to look at it in a positive spin, maybe this is God's way of giving the Rams a bath of all this stench and losing that they've displayed so far this season. And maybe starting tomorrow, they'll be clean, born again, baptized, ready for a new beginning, and hopefully to claw their way back to 500.
Right. Before we get into it, being a guy at the earnings calls of every quarter of some of these publicly traded companies on Wall Street, when they have terrible earnings and the stock is tanking, yes. And we're sort of in the middle of that with the recession right now, with all of these layoffs at Twitter and Meta and so Stripe and so on and so forth. After the CEO comes and sort of gives all the somber news, they need you to come in and just sort of spin a positive on that. I think you would be an incredible corporate strategy evangelist. That's my title for you.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay, I'll take it. We will luckily never have to have those conversations about LAFB with our investors, but if we ever did, I will do my best to spin the most positive light about this great network. So thank you for that. But show as always brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. Head to betonline.ag today. Sign up. First time deposit. Make sure to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. You get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can bet on any sport around. They've got everything you can think of, plus politics. The election is today at the time of this recording. If you are listening on Tuesday, make sure to go vote if you have not already. Unless you're listening to this at midnight, then I'm sorry that time has passed. But hopefully you did vote, and I'm saying you could have bet on it at BetOnline. That's all the great options they have for you to potentially win money, or fingers crossed, you know, Prop 27 passes here in California, and then we get other online betting options. But maybe BetOnline doesn't want to hear that because that's our sponsors. So BetOnline.ag, promo code BELIEVE. Tell them the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. All right. Rams, 16-13 loss, last second comeback by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. This team falls to 3-5. You know, the season is not over in terms of mathematically. Definitely there's a road for them to get back considering how bad the NFC is. I mean, Tampa wins and they move to 4-5. They're one game ahead without a bye yet. Green Bay lost again to the Lions. So outside of Philadelphia, I mean, there's really not a juggernaut. I mean, it's technically Minnesota as well. Minnesota only has one loss. So outside of Philly and Minnesota, there's still a lot of room to get back into it. However, Jamal, the way this offense is playing, it's going to take quite a miracle to get back into it. Your thoughts on the loss right off the bat?
Ryan, the game went the way we discussed and the way I thought it was going to go, unfortunately, in terms of giving the Rams, or lack thereof, the benefit of the doubt. For me, it just, everything starts with this offense and how egregious it is. And this is probably the worst offense in the NFL. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Mm-hmm. With a Sean McVay team, when you look at Matt Stafford, 13 for 27, 165 yards. So he's below 50%, below 200 yards. Cooper Kupp, 8 for 127 in the touchdown. So, Ryan, everybody else not named Cooper Kupp got 38 yards in terms of receiving. And if I look at this game, the whole offense was six plays. The whole game was six plays. It was obviously the deep touchdown in the second quarter, which was a really nice laser to Cooper Kupp, and he finished it. It gave us shades of that divisional last year. Then off of the fourth down stop in the third quarter, Stafford goes play action to Kupp, you know, inside the Buccaneers 15, but the drive stalls for the field goal. And then there were the four plays in sequence for the other field goal drive, where it was a great in-traffic inside slant ball that Stafford threw to Allen Robinson. I thought Allen Robinson did a phenomenal job catching that ball with two guys kind of draped all over him. Brown made this incredible shoestring catch on third down a couple plays later. And then Darrell Henderson had his only two runs of greater than 10 yards. I mean, that was it. That was the six plays. I don't think they had another play more than 6 yards the rest of the game. And it's just absolutely incredible to see this team devolve into the state that it's been. And so offensively is a huge issue. But then also I thought, Ryan, there was just a little bit of too much lack of disrespect. There was a lack of respect. There was too much disrespect for Brady in this game. I think they played this game like Brady was Malik Willis. And granted, you know, the Bucs had no weapons to speak of in that game. They probably had 8 or 9 drops themselves. They dropped 3 Stafford interceptions. Balls were right in their hands. But to sort of punt it again to Brady with 44 seconds, I know it's no timeouts. I know the Bucs didn't really move the ball. He's still Tom Brady. I think they should have been more aggressive to try and close that game out. And they would have, I think, behaved very differently if it was a Pat Mahomes, if it was a Josh Allen, if it was a Joe Burrow. And so to just sort of have that lapse in judgment about not giving the GOAT his respect, which is such an obvious thing to do, that's the thing that's very disappointing to me. It's just the lack of creativity offensively. I really believe McVay is in sort of his equivalent of a writer's block. I just think he's sort of burnt out and just nothing seems to be getting through from a creative perspective. And then secondly, I think that's seeping over into some obvious decision-making there where you gotta give the greatest player that's ever played this game some respect. The fact that you gave him no respect, you deserve to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just more of the same. I mean, I feel like we are having the same conversations over and over again. I'll harp on one thing that I know people are probably sick because I'm say it every single time, but I mean, this running game is just atrocious, and it's not even that it's not efficient. It's just that it's not an involvement in the actual offense. I mean, they had 19 rushes, Jamal, 19 rushes, and 3 of them came on that last drive when they were trying to quote unquote salt the game away. So before that last drive, they had 16 rushes. The last two games the Buccaneers played where they went 0-2, they actually went 0-3. But just looking at the last two, the Ravens rushed 35 times for 240 yards. The Panthers rushed 29 times for 180 yards. So why are we throwing the ball 30 times when we've seen the script is laid out for us? The Buccaneers can't stop the run. And for some reason, love Sean McVay, but at this point in this season, he's just not calling smart games. And Matthew Stafford still has ability, absolutely. I've said that many times, but he's not playing. He's not Mahomes. He's not Herbert. He's not Josh Allen. He's not a guy you want with the way this offense is playing to carry this entire team. And Cooper Kupp is only one man. I mean, he had another record-setting day, essentially, and this team put up 13 points. So you have to find different ways to move the football. And when a team is bad in one area, why are you not attacking that and exploiting that? And if they don't think they have the ponies to run the ball, well, then they should have done more to try to get the ponies that can run the ball. And I know they made effort for Christian McCaffrey, but we talked about a lot of other players that could have been had at the running back position that maybe they made phone calls. I mean, not all reports are out there. Obviously, we're not in the room in those meetings with Les Snead on the phone, but it's either they don't trust the guys they have, but they didn't make an effort to go get anyone not named Christian McCaffrey. So it's upsetting to me that we have the same conversation with the running game. And I know McVay overall, even how great he is, has never, outside of that one tremendous year with Todd Gurley, has never been uber committed to the run anyway. I get that. However, for his offense to go, you have to have the threat to run. It's the play action. It's the bootlegs. It's all of these creative things that let you stretch the ball down the field. But you can't do any of that if the defense knows, A, you're not going to be good at running, but B, and more importantly, you're just not going to run. I mean, if you just don't run the football, then they don't have to commit to it. They don't have to play physical football. So that to me, Jamal, we can talk about the defense and that last drive, which I don't disagree with you. But to me, that's the biggest disappointment because it's the same thing. Here we are eight games in now with this team, and there's zero commitment to running the football, which is what this offense truly needs to get out of their own way.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
No, Ryan, I think you said it best. Look, at the end of the day, the defense only gave up 16 points, and they had only given up 6 through 3 quarters on the road. That's got to be enough. And we're staring, Ryan, at the barrel of one of the worst title defense seasons in the history of this sport. Right now, they're tied for the second worst record through 8 games of any defending champion. It was only the 2006 Steelers that were at 2-6. And when you look at in totality, this is the craziest stat of all to me, Ryan. Through 8 games, 131 points. That is the lowest, tied for the lowest for any defending champion in the history of the NFL. We're talking about the history of the NFL way back in the 60s and the 70s when it was a very different run-heavy type of sport. Scores were much lower. And to be facing that type of a statistic for a Sean McVay team, it's just absolutely flabbergasting. And let's be honest here, Ryan, this team hasn't shown up all year. They're 3-5. And I know we've talked in the past about the losses were quote unquote good losses. And I agree with that. These were good teams that the Rams had lost to, the Bills, the Niners, the Cowboys. But let's look at the wins here, Ryan. I mean, beating the Cardinals, that was a very uninspiring game and a game that the Cardinals almost came back in if it wasn't for one drive. You look at what they did against the Panthers. The Panthers were basically an NFL Europe team with PJ Walker's first start in the NFL. And then when you look at what they did with the Falcons, we're almost blowing that game at the end. And we're 8 games in now, Ryan, and they haven't shown up yet. They're still somewhere on that bus on Figueroa, you know, drinking and dancing and no shirts on and shades. But outside of Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald, nobody's shown up yet this season. They're still basking in the victory of a Super Bowl title, and they'll keep basking for a few more weeks because their season's going to end pretty soon here, and they can bask some more in the offseason because there is just no evidence right now. We've given them every benefit of the doubt. Okay, the Niners have their number. The Bills came out so focused wanting to prove something. Okay, let's wait until the bye. Okay, they lost to the Niners again. Now this should be the get-well game. At this point, we've got 8 games here, Ryan, and the fact of the matter is they just cannot move the ball at all. And what I don't understand is why do you keep throwing when you have no talent at wide receiver outside of Cooper Kupp? There's just no talent there. Allen Robinson is a bust, and he was the product of a bunch of empty yards on some bad teams, and it's why fantasy football gurus aren't NFL GMs. It's you know, when you look at who this team is in terms of roster construction from a wide receiver position, they have the best wide receiver in football and a bunch of scrubs. And then at the running back spot, they've been decimated by injuries. But the fact that they couldn't get a deal done for even some of these middle-level guys in free agency without having to give too much, it just feels like they have resigned themselves this season to say, you know what, I think it's probably time for 23 because the management has not shown any evidence that they believe in this core. And Ryan, frankly, why should they? They've given us no evidence over 2 months to believe in them.
Yeah. And I think what's most disappointing is how good this defense is. And I don't care what fans say about Raheem Morris. This is a very good defense and they're playing very well. I mean, they've outside of maybe one game, this team has been in every game because of the defense overall. And outside of some short fields and some turnovers by Stafford in the red zone, like, I mean, this defense is probably a top five unit when it comes to points per game. If you take out some of those very short fields that really, you know, the points go against the defense, but it really wasn't on them on those instances. And, you know, you bring up the, you know, one of the most disappointing seasons for a Super Bowl defending team. And I think back to the Denver Broncos of 2015, they lose Peyton Manning to retirement. And then Brock Osweiler, their backup who won them, went 5-2 when Manning was injured. He left for the Houston Texans. So they started the season and finished the season with a guy named Trevor Siemian, and they still went 9-7 and almost made the playoffs. This team, this Rams team, lost some players. Yes, Von Miller's a big loss, but they added Bobby Wagner. I know, very different, but when you just look at per capita and talent-wise, that they lose OBJ to injury, who they only had half the year anyway. They added Allen Robinson, who I know I agree with everything you're saying, but on paper you add that. They lost guys, but they gained guys, and yet they're so egregiously different on offense than they were just a short 6-7 months ago. So I don't know if it's a mental thing. Obviously the injuries on offensive line, we haven't brought that up just because we don't want to say that every single weekend as an excuse. It's very real. But to the offensive line's point/credit, and where I look again to McVay or Kevin Carberry, is you add guys like Matt Skura and Odey Obuchi, and yet you're still starting Bobby Evans at left guard, who is arguably the worst offensive lineman in football. I mean, we don't take PFF grades as, you know, the holy grail, but he's the lowest graded guard like in the history of grading. And you're putting him up against Vita Vea, arguably the best interior defensive lineman, not named Aaron Donald, to just bowl over him at will. Like, that is where the coaching staff is like, what are we doing here? Either Odey Obuchi or Matt Skura, either they're just showing absolutely nothing, or they're just holding on to this conception of Bobby Evans having a one decent season when he came in for some injuries and played tackle. And now you're going to put him at guard. But I don't know where the evidence is that he's holding up. And that I'm not blaming Stafford for, when you have big 350 Vita Vea in your face every 2 seconds, just coming straight up the middle. So that again is on coaching, that I don't understand exactly what the philosophy of this offense is.
No, Ryan, I think you hit the nail on the head, and this wasn't a game that really had anything to do with Matt Stafford, truthfully. My bigger concern is, given now week over week, the lack of commitment to the run game, the lack of adjustments to the offensive line in the spots where at least you have some flexibility, the lack of offensive variety on the outside. Tutu Atwell still has only one catch on the season. You still have Powell. Van Jefferson is back. You can still do some things in terms of bunch formation, screen passes, you know, misdirection. There's still opportunities to get some yards on the field. Where my deeper concern, Ryan, is, where I'm starting to see it in some of these post-game comments, is the locker room starting to get divided. And I think Jalen Ramsey's post-game interview was very telling when he said, as a defense, and I'm paraphrasing him, as a defense, we do a great job, and we don't even have time to congratulate each other. We don't have time to even really get a sip of water. We don't have any time to pat ourselves on the back or recollect ourselves, because we know in a few plays we're going to have to get back out there. And I just wish that there were some dogs on the offensive side to say enough is enough. And, you know, he used some choice words. And obviously Ramsey's been a very outspoken individual over the course of his career, even pre-Rams days with Jacksonville. But if that is now some of the conversation that's happening in the locker room, Ryan, it's deeply concerning if you start pitting against these units where one is clearly good enough to make a deep and credible title defense and playoff run, and the other group is arguably the worst in football. And now you don't have a bye. You don't have the luxury of still being in September and October. So how McVay, who seems like he's dealing with his own, you used a great word in our preview show, Ryan, about kind of Brady and the Bucks, about disconnected. McVay seems just totally disconnected from the Rams right now. And I think there is just a burnout. And I go back to the fact that I think he was a lot closer to retirement than any of us really gave credence to, and I think he's on that edge again, and truth be told, I think there needs to be some soul searching for him here to salvage whatever respect he can for this 2022 iteration of this team, because at the end of the day, they are wasting another prime year of Cooper Kupp, who is on pace to break the NFL record for receptions this year, Ryan. He's on pace to shatter Michael Thomas's record by at least 6 receptions and waste one additional great year from the great Aaron Donald. And so I really hope for McVay's sake, he can find some semblance of order and clarity in his thought process.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say, and we'll wrap up, as much as we all want to see him back, this team is not signing of OBJ away from being a contender yet again. There is much deeper issues, much more obvious fixes that need than necessarily. Now, obviously, OBJ would help some things, could maybe stretch the field a little more of what they haven't been seeing, but nothing leads me to believe that that will really change the output of this offense just because they haven't committed to the run. There's no discrepancy in what they're doing, so I don't think adding someone like him really changes that much or moves the needle.
No, Ryan, and I think Rams fans are utterly delusional if they think that OBJ even wants to come to the Rams. I think this whole argument about the love fest because he went to McVay's wedding and that's the reason that he wants to come back to the Rams, that's the biggest bunch of baloney I've heard, because at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. And if it was truly a family, and if it was truly all about love and not about the dollars, then the Rams would have re-signed OBJ already. But the fact of the matter is they didn't do that. They had the option to. They wanted to see how he was going to respond from injury. They wanted to see what that timeline was going to look like. They wanted to see the kind of team that they had. So it's not, they've got a great relationship, and I would be a fool if I were OBJ, frankly, to come back to the Rams, a team that is very unlikely to make the playoffs, when I can be that last piece of the puzzle for a Chiefs, for a Bills, for potentially a Cowboys, for a Niners, and really sort of enhance
my legacy,
or a Chargers, and enhance my legacy in that way. I'd have to be a complete moron if I were OBJ to come to the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make sense for him, and it's not going to fix the Rams at this point. So we'll see. A lot more to do on that. We'll obviously be talking hopefully more positively later in the week as we preview the Cardinals, which, hey, Rams are great against the Cardinals. So we should get back to 4-5 this weekend, hopefully, but we'll have all that.
You said that about the Bucs last week, Ryan.
I did. They hadn't lost to the Bucs since Brady's been there. And they've only lost once to the Cardinals since McVay's been here. So we'll see if it's this is really a doomsday scenario if they get back on track next week. But obviously, we'll break that all down for you next week. Tough loss for the Rams. But hey, we'll see if things can get turned around. And obviously, we'll still have coverage for you all week long on the LA Football Network. That's going to do it for us here on the LA Football Show. Rams edition. Ramley, stay safe out there. Stay dry. For Jamal Madney, this is Ryan Dyrud. Talk to you all later in the week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.